us that much. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles with us tonight. We're looking in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we've made our way to chapter number 5. We've worked through a lot of the things that are going on, as we say many times, in the early development of the church, of this new church, this seemingly upstart group in the nation of Israel, as it begins in the city of Jerusalem and begins to work its way out. And that's the commission that God gave to his disciples. He said, I want you to go. I want you to take the word. I want you to preach it. I want you to do these things and start at Jerusalem. And that's where they're starting. And then he said, go to Judea and then Samaria and to the uttermost parts. Well, some of that hasn't happened yet. But again, as I say, we're still in the early stages. So those things are being put in play and put in place. And then as you notice, as we've read and studied, that there's a lot of things that have happened. There's been persecution. There's been problems within. There's been miracles performed. There's been the amazement of all of those that have heard all the things that they've seen. And there's been a lot of folks that have gotten saved. So we're going to see how that continues as we look on in tonight. And I want you to look down with me, if you will, in verse number 25. Verse number 25. Last week we were studying in the earlier verses about the disciples being arrested for preaching again. And you know, that seems to be a pretty common theme. They've already been called in on the carpet when they saw a man healed and saw the crowds come together, and they preached to him, told him there's the name of Jesus that healed a man. That's the only way you're going to get saved. And the religious leaders didn't like that, so they told him, quit preaching that. So they went out and they just started preaching it again. They don't listen too well, do they, to what men have to say. But you'll see here in just a few minutes how that develops on into a theme for them. So look, if you will, in verse number 25. Now, they've been arrested, and we see that after they're arrested, they get out of jail, but it's in a miraculous fashion. That's the last thing that we saw, how that the Lord sent an angel down and brought them out of the jail. And then it says in verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captains with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or if this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for the blessings of the night and the songs that we've enjoyed, the worship. I pray, God, you just add your blessing to the reading and to the preaching tonight. Have your will and your way accomplished in everything that's said. Everything that's done and everything that we accomplish, we'll just simply bow our heads and thank you for what you're doing tonight. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at these few little verses with me tonight and think on this thought, if you will, defending the faith. Defending the faith. And I believe that's what you notice here as you see Peter and John and all the other apostles that are standing with them. That's all that they are simply doing. They have come to the defense of their faith. And I believe they're leaving me and you an example of how we ought to stand and how that we may even have to stand in the days that we live. We're going to see some things change. We're going to see some things that will be more oppressive and more problematic as far as the Church of the Living God goes. But, brother, these guys just decided to make a stand. They just decided to make a stand for Jesus. And sometimes that's what you got to do. You just got to defend the faith. You got to defend the faith. And that's what, you know, Jude tells us, that he said, when I thought about writing to you about this common faith, he said, I'm writing to you so that you'll know that you and I all need to defend the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what every one of us needs to be set to do, is just fight. Get in a fight and stand up for what the Lord, word of the Lord said, and let's just preach it. Let's just stay with it. Let's just do it. Because that's what these men decided in their hearts that they needed to do. So let's look, if you will, at a few things and notice what they say. First of all, I want you to notice this, that and we'll say it this way, the defenders, these men that are defending the faith, the defenders taking a stand. I want you to notice them, the defenders taking a stand. Now, they've got to do some standing. I mean, as I said, if you're gonna be a defender of the faith, and I'm talking about the faith, biblical faith, if you're gonna be a defender of this gospel and of what we know from the Lord Jesus, then you've just simply got to make up your mind sometimes to stand. And we know the story again, how that they were in prison because they'd been preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, and they were giving that out, and the religious leaders said, "You can't do that, and you shouldn't be doing that, and you're making us look bad." And they admonished them, and they charged them, and they commanded them. They did all of these things trying to quieten them, but it didn't shut them up. You know why? Because they were ready to defend the faith. The defenders here, as I say, we see them taking a stand. First of all, you see they're leading. I mean, they are being led to these guys that are against them. You notice how it says that here they are. The Lord's led them out of jail, and they're out there preaching. It said they've gone and now these guys in the hierarchy of the religion. It said somebody has come and told them, these guys y'all put in jail, they're back out there preaching again. I mean, that's basically what happened. It says, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And I told you last week, you know, some of us, if these things happen to us, we might say, well, man, I got out of jail. I'm getting out of here. They ain't going to catch me. I'm going to go somewhere, you know, where they're not. But they just went right back to doing what they were commanded, what they were charged, and what they knew to do that was right. Now, the Bible said that the angel, when he called them out of prison, when they got out of prison, he said, go stand in verse 20 of this same chapter. He said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. In other words, go back to doing what God has commissioned you to do. So you see, they had their own leading in this. The Spirit of God was leading them. After they had been loosed by the angel, they had been led by the Spirit back to the place where they had been before, and they kept on doing the same thing that they were doing before. And as I say, you see, they're just defending. They're just defending. They're doing the same thing. And then you see where it says that officers, the captain in verse 26, they said, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Now the religious higher up, they sent, they said, go get those men. You go, y'all go out there and bring them back here, and we're going to straighten this thing out. We're going to shut them up. We're going to close them down. We're going to get this thing off of the streets and out of the temple, and we're going to bring order back to this situation. So they go out there and bring. Well, I'm going to tell you, you see, there's a little trepidation with those that go get them. They go to get them, but they also realize the people out there are for them. You know why? Because God is showing His favor on these men as they stand and preach and teach and have the power of God, and it's making a lot of sense. Amen? It's making a lot of sense. So these guys are back out on the Temple Mount. They're out there preaching and teaching the Word of God, and these guys go to get them, but they do it, as I say, with a little bit of fear and trepidation. It says that they brought them without violence. They didn't go out there and jerk them around. They didn't go out there and snatch them up and handcuff them and, you know, push them around and do that. No, it said they did it without violence. I think they went out there and said, will you guys come with us, please? We need y'all to, you know, come this way. And they feared the people. And it said, lest they should have been stoned. I mean, they were fearing the fact that the crowd would turn on them because they'd say, hey, what are you doing? These guys are here and they're doing good and they're doing right and the Lord sent them here. Y'all don't have any right or cause to do what you're doing. He said, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, listen, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You see that? They are saying, look, they've been doing this stuff. They've been saying this same thing. And it looks like they're trying to implicate us in what's going on in this man. You notice they won't even use the name Jesus. They're afraid of that name because there's something about that name. But they say, this man's blood upon us. And then notice what it says. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. I'm telling you, the defenders are still taking a stand. I want you to notice this. You notice, first of all, they're led into this situation. They're led out of jail. They're led to preach again. Now they're led back before the hierarchy, the religious group. They're there to the preaching, to do the preaching. Then they're there before the authorities. And I want you to notice this. You notice who they said gave them their license to do what they're doing. You see what they said about their licensing? It says that Peter looked at them and the other apostles, and they said, we ought to obey God. In other words, they're saying, look, y'all didn't call us. Y'all didn't commission us. Y'all didn't put us into this ministry. God has called us, and we're just going to do what God says to do. Amen? Amen? They said that we ought to obey God rather than men. They said, can we tell you who signed our licenses to stand and preach? It wasn't a committee of men. It wasn't you religious guys. It wasn't you and all your hierarchy. It wasn't the guys that are out there telling everybody that you're a rabbi and you're not and you can do that and you can. It wasn't y'all. He said, Peter said, look, it was the Lord, and we ought to obey Him rather than you. Amen? I mean, that's who gave them the license. I'm telling you, now I know today we kind of think about that in a light sense and a light thought about our day, but I'm telling you, when the church lays their hands on a man to commission him and license him and ordain him to preach the gospel, hey, I'm telling you, when they didn't realize, and churches should listen to a man and watch a man and see what he does, and then when they get ready to commission, when they get ready to ordain him, brother, they better be knowing that God's on. And I'm telling you, Peter says here, we know we have the hand of God upon us. And they did know that. I mean, and you see what that brought about. It brought them to a place of their loyalty was to the Lord. They wasn't loyal to a group of men. They wasn't loyal to a denomination. They wasn't. I tell you this. I've had people tell me before that there's somebody that's telling you what to preach. And I said, oh, really? Who is that that's telling me what to preach? They said, well, you get orders from Nashville, out of Nashville. There's a group up there that tells all you Baptist preachers what. I said, hey, I ain't heard a word from Nashville. I'm not looking for a word from Nashville. I ain't going to take a word. I'm getting mine right from the King James Bible and from God above on what to preach. Amen. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot of folks that got those ideas. And that probably maybe happens in some denominational situations. And they may have somebody that says, y'all need to preach on this. Preach on. Brother, let me tell you, when God says preach and what he says preach, I believe y'all just stay with that. Amen? Just stay with that. And Peter said, look, you guys didn't license us. Heaven has given us the authority. Heaven has given us the command. Heaven has given us the commission. So we're just going to obey God rather than me. So you see, the defenders, they're taking a stand. They're taking their stand. They've been through a fact where they've been led. They've been found the leading of the Lord and the Holy Ghost. They have found their licensing and their loyalty is toward heaven. And then I want you to notice that Peter begins to talk to them about the liability of these that are their accusers. He says, verse number 30, he says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Boy, he says, look, you guys are the ones that are in a place of liability. Y'all got some condemnation. Do you see what they said? Look back up there where it says in verse number 28 toward the end of it. It says, behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. This is what they're saying. Y'all been preaching this Jesus stuff. Y'all filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Oh, okay. He said, Peter, you know what Peter says? Yeah, because it does belong on you. Look what he says there to them. He says, Jesus, verse 30, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He said, it's on you. Can you imagine that this is the same group that met that night when Jesus was convicted, when Jesus was tried in a mock trial, when Jesus was in his presence before Pilate and all the religious officials, Caiaphas and all of those other men that are listed there with? Hey, Jesus is there and they condemn him and they say that they want him put on a tree. I mean, you know, you go look, Pilate says, let's let him go. And they said, no, we want him crucified. No, Pilate says, let me give you another chance. Y'all pick some, and let's pick this guy and let him. No, we don't want him. We want Barabbas. Crucify him. Who do you think crucified Jesus? Peter says, y'all did it. It's up to you. The blood of Jesus is on their hand. They're trying to say, look, y'all trying to stick this on us. You intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Yeah, because it belongs on them. He said the liability falls upon you. You know, folks don't want to take a responsibility for their sin and for what they do and for the wrongs that they've got. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, Peter is taking a stand and the other apostles, they're taking this stand and they're saying, look, the liability for all of this that's going on is dead square on you guys' shoulders. He said, that's Jesus whom you slew, hanged on a tree. He said, but let me tell you who he is. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and to give repentance to Israel for forgiveness and forgiveness of sin. And he said, look, we're his witnesses to all of these things. And all he said, so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to all them that obey him. Now, can you imagine? They didn't like that. They didn't like it all. But I'm telling you, here you see the defenders taking a stand. Second of all, let's look at this, if you will. This has caused a little ruckus, as you could imagine. It's called a little stir. But secondly, I want you to see this. The defenders are being aided by a Pharisee scholar. By a Pharisee scholar. Let's look a little bit further, if you will. Notice what happens here. Now, Peter is pretty hard hit him. And look what it says in verse 33. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You know what that's called? That's called conviction from old-fashioned preaching. Amen? I mean, Peter told them the truth about who they were and what they did, and it cut them. You see that? First of all, you notice the cutting and the conviction on these that are those accusers. You see that convicting power. It said it cut them. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they took counsel to slay them. I mean, it made them so mad and infuriated that they said, let's just get rid of these guys. And they began to make that discussion. They're gonna take them out. But look what it says in verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council. This is a person that is part of this council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. I want you to notice, here's a man by the name of Gamaliel. This is not the only time you'll see his name. Acts chapter number 22, you'll see how that Paul is, and we'll get there after a while, but Paul is defending himself before Festus and Felix and King Agrippa. When he's talking to them, he's telling them about who he is, and he says that he was a Pharisee. Paul says he was a Pharisee, and he studied at the feet of a fella that was a great teacher of the law named Gamaliel. That's who this fella is. And you see how that the scripture describes him. It says, here's this man, he was a Pharisee, a doctor of the law. I mean, this guy was, you know, degreed. He was titled. He was a big shot in the religious circles. It says he was a doctor of the law. It said he was had in reputation among all the people. Everybody thought highly of this man, Gamaliel. He was when he talked, somebody listened, in other words. He was held in reputation. And it said, and he commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and he gave some words of advice. He gave some wisdom. And I want you to notice the counsel that we see from that. Now, notice this first of all, and I believe this plays into it, and it's just the way God does things and how the Holy Spirit works. I want you to notice what the Bible tells us first about him, that he is a Pharisee. Okay? He's a Pharisee. Some of these things that the apostles are preaching, the Sadducees, who are in the main control, or in the majority, if you will, of the council that they're set before, they have some things that they don't believe. But I'm going to tell you, the Pharisees did believe in them. The Pharisees did believe in angels. The Pharisees did believe in miracles. The Pharisees did believe in the resurrection from the dead. The Pharisees did believe in the real strict and stringent things of the Word of God, but they believed that God was still the final authority and not them, not men themselves. So there is a plus side to this to have, and God's got him there for a specific purpose. Here he is. He's defending our defenders. He comes to the defense of the, but you notice his counsel is with wisdom. Listen to what he says. He gives them this counsel. It says, ye men of Israel, verse 35, take heed to yourself. What you intend to do is touching these men. He said, y'all need to pay attention. Y'all need to wake up. You need to look at what you're going to do here to these men. He said, for before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, and who was slain. Now this man Thutis, whoever he is, was slain. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many obeyed him, were dispersed. So what he's saying is, look, y'all got this thing y'all all tore up about them telling you about this man Jesus, and Jesus is dead. He said, remember these other two situations where there was a leader that was a fellow out front and recognized and followed by many, and he died, and what he had as followers were all scattered and went to pieces. He said, now y'all think about that. There is precedent that has been set. He said, and now I say unto you, verse 38, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or if this work be of men, it will come to naught. Do you realize that's wise counsel? I mean, that still works today. Whether I mean, I'm not telling you Gamaliel's saved, and I'm not even telling you he's right in what he's doing and saying here so much of all of it. But I'm telling you, this is wise counsel. He's saying, look, let it alone, and if God's not in it, it'll fall apart. But if God is in it, you can't fight him. That's what he says. He says, if it be of men, then it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Listen to that wise counsel that comes out of this man that has studied the scriptures and is held in a place of reputation and has a little bit of smarts in his head. Amen? I mean, sometimes it's good to listen to somebody that's got a little bit more sense than you. Amen? Say amen right there. Yeah, we all need to do that, don't we? But, you know, he tells them that this is what they ought to do. And listen to what it says in verse 40. And to him they agreed. They agreed. Do you see the conclusion of this matter? You see the cutting and the conviction part of it. You see the counsel that's given by this Pharisee. But I want you to notice the conclusion of the whole situation. And to him they agreed. They said, you know, that sounds right. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Man, now that, you say, that don't sound like a victory to me. It is. It was a victory for the apostles to be able to go through what they went through. And they were, that was the conclusion of it. They told, don't y'all be preaching anymore. Okay. Yeah, they were about to go right back and do what they had done before. They were not listening to the commandments or the directives of this council. But, buddy, they were just glad that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Amen? Look at this one last thing, if you will. Notice the defenders rejoicing in their day of suffering. Notice what it says in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What did they do, preacher? They went right back to what they were doing before. It says they went to the temple daily in the temple, and in every house, wherever people had let them in, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to notice their punishment. Now, let me just tell you this. Sometimes when you do something for the Lord and it stirs up the devil and all the demons of hell, I'll tell you this, there will be some times when there will be some reprimand that'll come, and it did come upon them. I mean, it said they'd beat them, and they commanded them, and they told them not to speak anymore. I mean, all those things were there. And I want you to notice, there was a punishment that came to them. There was something. They had to answer to the authorities that were set in place there. And I don't see where they resisted. I don't see where they, you know, said, well, we want to appeal, or we want to get our own lawyer, or we want to. They just went ahead and took whatever got dished out. But then I want you to notice that you see their punishment. But second of all, notice their praise. Notice their praise. It says in verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They said, praise God. Hey, we get to be counted worthy of suffering like our Savior did. And you remember what Jesus told them? He said, in the world, you'll have trouble. You just realize, mark that down and write it in big bold letters. You're going to have trouble in this world. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. And brother Jesus will make me and you to be overcomers through him. So you see their punishment, and it might have been severe. I mean, it says a beating. We don't know exactly what all that consisted of or what that meant, but. And then they were scolded and reprimanded and told not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And they just went out of there shouting the victory and said, praise God, we're glad to be counted as being able to suffer for the name and the cause of Christ. And then I also noticed this, last of all, their continuing proclamation and preaching that they did. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not. You know what that means? That means they didn't quit. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know what? Them guys said, y'all can't preach and teach in that name anymore. What did they do? They went out and they kept preaching and teaching in that name every day. Why is that? Because, again, their licensing, their agreement, their commission did not come from men. It came from God. And there was something inside of them that's whispering, preach Jesus, preach Jesus, preach Jesus. As a matter of fact, you've seen throughout these first five chapters, one of the great themes of the first five chapters is the preaching of the name and seeing the power that there is in the name of Jesus. Now, they've had to suffer. They've been shamed and they've been scolded and they've been reprimanded and they've been talked down to and they've put in jail. They've had all these things happen to them. But you know what? They just bounce back and keep on preaching Jesus. Why? Because that's what the Lord has commanded them to do. And I believe that's a certainly a good model and a good thing for me and you to notice and to see is that God wants us to continue to do what the commission is. Amen. He didn't call us to make the earth a better place to go to hell from. He told us to preach the word of God and help folks escape hell. He didn't tell us to go, you know, and try to be all love and flowers and butterflies and bubbles. He said, preach the word of God. And sometimes it gets like this. It gets tough. Well, you go back and look at Paul's life. And Paul talks about how the things that he suffered for the cause of Christ. And he said, I was glad to do it. Glad to do it. And if you remember in the beginning when Paul got saved, and we'll get over there before too long, chapter number 9, when Paul gets saved, Ananias says he's going to go pray for Paul. And God says, I want you to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And you know what Paul did? Paul said, I'll take it. I'll take every bit you got. And if you remember in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul said, I finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. He said, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There's something in the end of this, no matter what you do. Paul also wrote this and said that you and I can't understand the value and the worth. He said, it's not even worthy to be compared with the sufferings that we go through down here with the glory that awaits for us on the other side. He said, you can't count what goes on down here. It's going to be better up there than anything you suffer down here. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad that Peter, John, James, all the other apostles, they're still in the fight and they're still defending the faith. As I said, that Jude tells us in his writing, Jude says that we're to defend the common faith. He said, I wrote to you concerning the common faith, and you and I are to stand for that. And what he means by the common faith is that faith that works for all of us. It's the same faith for no matter who you are and where you are. It's that faith that saves you, keeps you, going to take you home one day. Amen? And he's telling you, man, just stand up for that. Stand up. All right, we're going to sing a verse of a song, if you would, this evening. We're going to just sing a verse of Just As I Am. If you want to turn to page number 81, we'll sing a verse out of the hymn book. And if you're here tonight, if you'll stand with us, if you need to come and pray or whatever you need to do, whatever it may be that God's dealing with your heart about,